Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
A lesbian teaching feminist, queer, and liberation theologies is not quite up to the old norm. And in case you're worried that someday I will not be a misfit, you should know that Yale has made me a misfit forever. They gave me a certificate of retirement that declared me to be an honorably retired boy. Unable to write Latin or to think that a woman might have been around long enough to retire, they wrote on my certificate, Emeritus Professor of Theology. When last heard from, they had not figured out how to change my title to Emerita.
That's Letty Russell. She's author of Human Liberation in a Feminist Perspective. She's one of the elder statesperson of feminist theology. We're going to be talking about feminist theology for the first 40 minutes of Issues Etc. today. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Tuesday, the 18th of November. Thanks for tuning us in. Our first conversation with Dr. Margaret Kostenberger on feminist theology will be followed by a short conversation with Rich Abanas. He's a cult expert, and we're going to be talking about the 30th anniversary today of the Jonestown Massacre. I remember when it happened. I remember when it was news, and it still shocks 30 years later. Dr. Alveda King will join us in the second hour of the program. She's the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., director of African American Outreach for the Gospel of Life Ministries. We're going to be talking to her about abortion and civil rights, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. with Pastor David Shaddy, continuing our three-part daily series with him, part two today. We're talking about the gospel and the Christian family. Today it'll be fathers, mothers, and children on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address. We get your questions and comments right here in the studio in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. Margaret Kostenberger is adjunct professor of women's studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and author of the new book, Jesus and the Feminists. Dr. Kostenberger, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
What has feminist theology done to Jesus over the last 30 or so years?
Well, there are different kinds of feminists I've discovered, and I was just surprised to find out that there are different views of Jesus represented in these different kinds of feminists. I can tell you the three different kinds of feminists that I observed in my studies are radical feminists, reformist feminists, and biblical feminists. So there's various ways in which they have come out with Jesus. Radical say that the Bible is too patriarchal and essentially reject the scripture. Reformist feminists tend to take part of scripture and use it for their benefit and reject the rest of it. Egalitarians like to see scripture as inspired and try to see that scripture rightly interpreted teaches that Jesus was a feminist.
Okay, you point out in your book that the radical feminist, which generally speaking will reject scripture, or at least at the very least cherry pick scripture and reject most of it, is really the most consistent form of feminist theology. Why do you say that?
Okay, well, in terms of the radical feminists would be some of those I surveyed are Mary Daly, Virginia Mollenkopf, and Daphne Hansen. They typically have started out at a more conservative view theologically, trusting in the Bible and its teaching, and then moving quickly away to reject it. So there are some who it's more consistent with their themselves and their view to reject it because they see it as patriarchal and they just don't deal with it anymore. In comparison to reformist feminists who try to, you know, still work with the scripture and hold a feminist viewpoint, there's a little bit of a conflict there. So that's the consistency that I see. It's not good, but it is consistent for them to reject it because of the patriarchal bias that they say they see.
What about the egalitarian or the evangelical feminist theologians who hold a higher view of scripture? Do they suffer from a similar kind of inconsistency with their own feminist principles and the way that they read scripture?
Yes, and that's exactly, you know, what I saw as I reviewed, you know, thoroughly, first the radical, then the reformist, and then the egalitarian. I saw them following in the same pattern of the reformists, where although the reformists decide to reject portions of scripture, the egalitarians have to accept all of scripture. They see that the, you know, that that Jesus was, they like to see him as egalitarian, but he really wasn't. They have to force the scripture into that view.
You say they've domesticated him,
mm-hmm.
and not permitted the real Jesus to say what he has to say. Can you can you give us an example of how they view a particular passage where they would try to make the case that Jesus was an egalitarian feminist?
Okay. Well, the egalitarian view in general, you know, one example is I would see that Jesus chose 12 men as his apostles on purpose with a legitimate kind of idea that male leadership is a norm for us today. They would say that. They would try to explain that away, saying that this is a cultural thing for men to be in leadership and that Jesus accommodated himself to the norms of the day and the culture he lived in. So, and I would argue against that. Would you like me to tell you why that would
be?
Yeah,
please do.
Jesus, I would say, typically did not accommodate himself to the culture. He spoke for a long and an extended time with a Samaritan woman, as you remember. And this was not acceptable in the culture of the time. And we know that he did not keep a lot of the Pharisaic regulations as well. The Sabbath would be an example. And he regularly spoke out against human tradition. So for such an important issue, you know, as the leadership in the church and, you know, his choosing of the 12 apostles, he certainly would have spoken out, you know, if he needed to, on that issue. It was not a cultural thing that he accommodated himself to. That's one thing that the egalitarians would say.
So, apart from the radical feminist theologians, or even the reformer feminist theologians, even the egalitarians, would they be typically in favor of female serving as clergy, female serving in positions of ecclesiastical authority?
I do think so. I do think that, for the most part, egalitarians would like to see women taking leadership roles in the church, like being pastors or taking ecclesiastical authority, like you said. Yes.
We're talking with Dr. Margaret Kostenberger, adjunct professor of women's studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and she's author of a new book, Jesus and the Feminist. We're talking about feminist theology. You can join us with questions or comments. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 18th of November. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email your questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. How do the radical feminists view Jesus? What picture do they paint of him?
The radical feminists, the way they view Jesus is that Jesus was the Son of God. He was. They see the terms "the Son of God" being used as a male term, and they don't like to see that. They see the scripture as too patriarchal in general, and that Jesus being viewed as the Son of God is a male thing, and that's not acceptable.
So would we hear them say that scripture is can be or should be rejected because it comes out of a patriarchal framework?
Yes, that's true. The patriarchal framework is the main thing that they choose to focus on in the scripture and reject it.
Then with only a minute before our break, do the reformist feminist theologians, do they somehow manage to strike a balance between a criticism of scripture for being patriarchal and an acceptance of scripture for what they think it does give us of a feminist Jesus?
Well, I would say that they don't strike a balance in a legitimate way. I think they're just sort of, they are selectively using scripture. And, you know, for someone who sees the Word of God as inspired and inerrant, it's not appropriate to do that. They try to salvage passages that elevate women only. And they actually would also go outside the Bible to include other material, creating their own canon, so to speak. So the Bible itself is not viewed as inerrant and authoritative, and the canon that which we look to as conservative evangelical Christians.
What are their favorite Bible passages?
The favorite Bible passages of reformists?
Yeah.
Well, any passages that you could find in Scripture where women are elevated, like Ruth or Esther, those kind of things.
Dr. Margaret Kostenberger is our guest. Feminist theology is the subject we're covering here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what is the gospel of feminist theology? If Jesus is turned into a feminist, does the central message of Scripture, that is, his saving work to rescue lost sinners by a perfect life, his life laid down, his resurrection from the dead, does the central message of the atonement survive any aspects of feminist theology? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Susan Nolte, Alicia Dietrich, Helen Alexander, Randy Wilson, Pastor Stuart Crown, Mary Beth Sullivan, Charles Rando III, Arthur Bennett, and Jeremy Casting. Thanks for your support.
It was in the late 60s that I began to add the questions of gender to what was then the established race, class, and anti-colonial discourse. I wrote and gave my first major essay on sexism, which was titled Male Chauvinist Theology and the Anger of Women. I thought it was kind of sprightly title. I mean, I was surprised by how galvanized and, you know, frightened, shall we say, white men were by the term anger of women.
It's Rosemary Radford Reuter. She is author of Sexism and God Talk, another of the feminist theologians that have had some influence in the Christian church in the last 30 years. We're talking about feminist theology. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 18th. Dr. Margaret Kostenberger is our guest, author of the new book, Jesus and the Feminist, surveying some of feminist theology in its various forms. If you have questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Kostenberger, the central message of Scripture, I'm sure you would agree, is the atoning, saving work of Jesus Christ. It is a Jesus who comes primarily to be a substitute in a perfect life, his death and his resurrection, for a world of lost sinners. Does this gospel, the central gospel message, survive feminist theology in any of its forms?
No, I would say that a feminist theology in general would teach that independence from all authority, even God, is appropriate. Self-reliance, the lack of the acknowledgement of sin in a person's life, no male authority over them is appropriate. Self-fulfillment is what is attempted here. So there is not an acknowledgement of sin, of a need for a savior, the atoning death of Christ, nothing like that at all.
Is it essentially kind of liberation theology in another form? That is, man's dilemma is that he is disenfranchised or cut out of the system or out of structures of power, and God simply wants to turn the power structures on their head? Is that what it is?
I was just going to maybe give you an example of one of the feminists that I talked about, Daphne Hansen, and about her view of how independence and self-reliance is important to her.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That might answer your question in some ways. She presents a stirring vision, which is at variance with the biblical message regarding the nature of God and Jesus, like you were asking previously. And she proposes self-actualizing than self-giving, and rather than self-giving, and asserts independence and autonomy rather than service orientation. So, and like I said, the radical egalitarianism extends even to God, our Creator. She says that God must be one of us. He must be like us. For any form of power to be excluded is what she wants. There's no need for the cross. And she says that for women to come to God in dependence and weakness or need is not appropriate. So that was just an example I was going to give you.
I'm wondering, do any of them reject or eschew the person of Jesus in particular? In other words, no male Savior, no male Jesus for me.
Yes, they do not like to see Jesus as a male and as a savior, for sure. That's something that's definitely rejected because of the aspect of women, you know, needing more a woman religion, religion for women.
What is the canon of the more radical forms of feminist theology? Is there a canon within a canon? Certain books, you had mentioned Ruth and Esther, but is there a canon for feminist theology?
Each of the different feminists view the canon differently. The radical feminists, like I said, basically reject the Scripture. Our, you know, kind of conservative view of Scripture is it's inspired. They would turn to things like goddess worship and create their own liturgy and that kind of stuff. The reformist feminists, they would pick and choose, like I said, passages that they would like to see where women are elevated and misinterpret too, like seeing that passage about Sophia wisdom and create a god out of this word's wisdom, a goddess, really. So, and then they add, you know, their own liturgy and works also.
What is the hermeneutic of suspicion? That's a term of art among the feminist theologians. What does it mean?
What is the hermeneutic of suspicion? Okay, that is the one of the approaches that some reformist feminists take, specifically Fiorenza, Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza. And what she does is she, like I said before, these reformist feminists view Scripture as being patriarchal. So they have this suspicious approach to Scripture, and that is their basis on how they choose which portions of Scripture are appropriate for them or not. So that's just their hermeneutic. That's how they evaluate Scripture.
So everything is forced through the sieve of feminism.
Yes, everything is forced through the sieve of feminism. Mm-hmm.
Finally, I'm curious about the influence. I mean, generally, people would say, "Well, I occupy a church body where they don't ordain women as pastors." Or, "Yes, we may have women pastors, but they always are in a lesser role." Do you view feminist theology as a genuine threat to mainstream evangelical Christianity in the United States?
I believe it is dangerous and it is unhealthy, and it definitely has influenced our churches in America. And so it's a threat in the sense that it's just unpleasant. It's not true and it's not healthy. We're not living out our lives fully in the way God intended us to. So in essence, we're not able to experience the blessing God intended us to. So in essence, that's that, yeah.
Here's an example that pops to mind. I wondered if you could tell me which category it fits in. It was okay. About, probably close to 10 years ago now, that Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, made a change with regard to its policy on women clergy, and it decided after some extensive study that the passages which they admitted prohibited women serving in the clergy were simply no longer relevant to the ministry they wanted to carry out at Willow Creek. And so they had, and I think continue to have, their first female pastor serving on staff there. Which kind of feminism are we looking at there?
Okay, that would be egalitarianism. They would like to view Scripture as rightly teaching that women can take pastoral positions. So they see Scripture as being inspired and inerrant, and they're determining that that's what Scripture teaches. And for whatever reason, various reasons, they have decided not to take the conservative view. And you didn't say any particular passages at this point yet, but those are definitely under, you know, need to be discussed for why they made that decision, you know. So Gilbert Bilezikian is the leading theologian, I guess, who caused that and is dealt with in the book, Jesus and the Feminists.
Bottom line then, Dr. Kostenberger, what's wrong essentially with feminist theology? 1 minute.
What's wrong with feminist theology in 1 minute would be that it's unbiblical. Feminist theology is determined by the presuppositions of the interpreters of Scripture, which are feminist presuppositions, ones that indicate that they would like to be independent and their own authorities. They would not like to submit to the authority of Scripture. The original meaning of Scripture is distorted, and the author's intended meaning is not determined. In which I would say, you know, for understanding Jesus, is that Jesus, is consistent with the whole of Scripture, that he did not accommodate himself in terms of culture. He chose 12 men deliberately, and it stands in a long tradition of male leadership. And, you know, Paul and others continued in this tradition.
Dr. Margaret Kostenberger is adjunct professor of women's studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Her new book called Jesus and the Feminists Dr. Kostenberger, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's never a good idea to try and force Jesus, or for that matter, generally speaking, Scripture, into a mold of your own design. People have tried it before. I mean, it's not that people haven't made the attempt. Many have. And feminist theology is perhaps just one among many theologies out there that is not so much a theology, it's an anthropology. You see, theology, you may not realize this, theology is in fact what God says of himself. It's not what we say of him. It is not our study of God, it's God's revelation of himself. So if we want to talk properly about any kind of theology, it has to begin with what God says of himself. A feminist theology that would impose feminism over the theology that Scripture presents would end up with nothing but feminism and no real, genuine, God-revealed theology left over when you're done at the end of the day. And it's true of any other mold that you want to try to force Scripture or Jesus into. What is the definitive theology? God's self-revelation. It's nothing other than that Scripture which Jesus himself affirms, at which he stands at the center, revealing himself as God in human flesh. There's the only theology the church ever needs. When we come back, we'll talk with Rich Abanas on the 30th anniversary of the Jonestown Massacre.
But you're just a boy.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Roy Southard, Becky Gust, Craig Cummins, Ed Casting, Jane Luck, Daryl Wacker, Eric Engel, Carol Wilson, Nathan Temple, and David McCann. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
During this last election, Washington became the second state to legalize assisted suicide. Thankfully, members of the medical community are taking a stand against it. Providence Health and Services is the largest medical system in Eastern Washington. They will prohibit doctors from killing patients at their medical centers, nursing homes, and other facilities. They cite a respect for the sacredness of life. Hospice of Spokane also refused to participate. They believe their mission is to provide care and support for patients, not to kill them. Hopefully, other medical facilities and organizations will also take a stand against euthanasia. They must establish safe environments for patients who are vulnerable to those who judge the value of their lives based on the quality of their health.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.